It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. It's so good to have you on the program today. I want to talk to you today about the subject of dealing with disappointments. Have you ever been disappointed in life? Have you been disappointed even today? Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, he said, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." And then he says this in verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You know, I remember back in my teenage years when I was touring in Christian music, I did a lot of singing down in Alabama and Mississippi. I remember going through Enterprise, Alabama, and they have the most unusual monument I've ever seen. It's a monument to the boll weevil, that tiny little insect that nearly destroyed the cotton crop that financed the town's economy. Now, I thought, why would they build a monument to such a destructive insect? You see, friend, because before the boll weevil, every family depended on cotton for its livelihood there in Enterprise, Alabama. But when the boll weevil struck, they diversified and they began to plant peanuts, and they had great success. So what started out as something bad, the destruction of their livelihood, caused something good to happen, diversification. And so the inscription reads this. It says, "In profound appreciation of the boll weevil and of what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument is erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama." I know that sounds crazy, but when I look back in my life, some of the greatest times of growth in my life have been experienced after I've gone through some tragedy or some great disappointment in my life. See, at the time, I thought God was on vacation. I mean, how could he love me and still allow this to go on? I mean, trials can be very hard. They can be difficult. And when we're going through them, we can't see how anything good could possibly come out of that. God doesn't take pleasure in our disappointments. But when I look back later, I can say, God got me out of my comfort zone by allowing these things to happen in my life. See, neither does God waste pain. He turns those times into opportunities for growth. So trust him, friend, even if you're in the midst of your greatest disappointment. Our disappointments are God's appointments. Now let's look back in our text today. Verse 24 said, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has?" See, when you face disappointments in your life, you have to realize that God is at work, even if you can't see it in the natural. Much of the Christian life is lived out in the realm of faith and hope. We press on, even though sometimes in the natural, we don't have a clue of what's going on. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, it said, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be." I like that. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. In the natural, it looked impossible. But Abraham said, "God said it, so I believe it." You and I probably will never face the overwhelming odds that Abraham faced. And yet in hope, he believed. Secondly, disappointments in life can also be a patience builder. See, in verse 25, he said, "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." You might be saying, "Pastor Keith, I was enjoying this sermon till you got to the patience part." I don't know about you, but this is where I really struggle in life. 90% of the time, I really believe we miss it with God in this area of timing. See, I have found that God is seldom in a hurry. And so I keep on reminding him and telling him, I need you to do this now. And he keeps on telling me to be patient. How do you develop patience? Oh, I thought you'd never ask. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 2. And I'm going to read this out of the old King James Version. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. First of all, I think it's very interesting that Paul calls patience her, uses the feminine gender to patience. I think maybe women are much more patient than us men. See, the trying of faith works patience. So in other words, God is telling us, if you always got what you want, when you want, you probably would not have much patience. Now you might be saying, what is the trying of your faith, Keith? Well, that's when you're believing God's promise, you're standing on the word, and everything in the natural just says, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The circumstances aren't lining up with what you're hoping for and what you're believing for. And something inside you says, against all hope, I'm going to believe. I'm going to stand on what God said, irregardless of what my circumstances say. Now, maybe you've dreamed big dreams, and because you've not experienced the manifestation of those dreams, Satan has convinced you that it's not going to happen. But friend, we have to believe and have hope, irregardless of what we feel or what we see in our life. You know, I'll never forget when I was a kid, 15 years old, there was a lady in our church that walked up to me and she said this, Keith, one day you're going to sing at the Grand Ole Opry. I said, yeah. And then when I was 17 years old, I'll never forget, my friend Pastor Jimmy Snow, son of superstar Hank Snow, the country singer, invited me to come to do his show, the last show on the Friday night Grand Ole Opry. And as the engineer Tom Brown was introducing me, this little lady was living in Kentucky at this time, and she was listening in her kitchen to the Grand Ole Opry that night, and she heard them introduce me as a guest that night. And I'll never forget how shocking it was for her. God had truly brought about what she said was going to happen to me. You know, the third thing we got to see here is when Paul says, when I'm weak, he's strong in me. Because in verse 26, he said, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. There's some times we just need God to help us. We don't know what to pray for, so the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Sometimes you don't have you been to the point where sometimes you don't have the words to even say to God? You can't even put it into words or syllables. But God's Spirit just prays with that groans inside of you. And you just touch the heart of God by connecting with him spiritually. Don't let the devil steal your dream, friend. The gospel singer Carmen, he wrote a song years ago, and it said this, the desire within you is the confirmation that the destination is already there. The very fact that God put the desire in your heart for this dream or this ministry or this idea is the confirmation that the destination is there. You just have to be patient. You just have to wait on God. This is how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Man, I can tell you, there have been so many times over the years when I would come in on a Sunday morning and I was so weak. Maybe I was sick, I was struggling in my body physically or spiritually, emotionally, and I'm just so weak, and all of a sudden, I felt that strength of God. And he got me through a situation, or he allowed me to minister when I didn't think I could do it in the natural. We're talking today about facing disappointments. I'm reminded of a poem by James Payne, novelist. He said this, "I never had a piece of toast, particularly long and wide, but fell upon the sanded floor and always on the buttered side." Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? You know, you face a disappointment and you're like, wow, how am I going to get through this? And life just ends up at times like you didn't want it to end up. The story is told of an immigrant who enlisted in the United States Army back in World War II. And being a foreigner, he had a great difficulty with the English language. One day, as the troop prepared for inspection, the men realized that unless they gave this soldier some help, he was going to flunk, simply due to his difficulty with the English language. So one of the men said to him, "Now look, in a few days the general's going to come around, and unless you're extremely careful, you could fail this inspection due to your problems with the language. Let me tell you the questions he'll probably ask, and the answers you need to be prepared to give. Now the first question he'll undoubtedly ask is, how long have you been in the Army? And when he asks that, you just simply answer, 2 years. The second question he will undoubtedly ask is, how old are you? And when he asks that, answer, 22. The third question he will ask is, have you been receiving good food and good treatment? And when he asks that, tell him both, 2, 22, and both. Those are your answers. As long as you can remember these three answers, you should have no difficulty. But whatever you do, don't forget 2, 22, and both. Well, the day came for his inspection, and sure enough, the general did ask three questions. The only problem was he didn't ask them in the order that the soldier was prepared to answer them. Instead of saying what he thought he was going to say, he said, "I'd like to ask you a few questions. First, how old are you?" And the soldier answered, 2 years. The general looked at him and said, "Well, how long have you been in the Army?" And the soldier answered, 22 years. And the general looked at him and said, "What do you take me for, an idiot or a fool?" And the soldier answered, "Both." Oh, I just couldn't resist throwing that in there. Sometimes we just need to chuckle at life, because sometimes we've got to smile to be able to get through some of the hard times we're facing. And then in verse 27, Paul said this, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." See, God knows best. The Father knows best. God is saying here, you can trust me with what you're going through right now. And you remember I've said so many times on this program, nothing in my life, either good or bad, can happen until it first filters through God's sovereign hands. So if it gets this far, it's come with a great purpose, and God will see me through. God is right there working on your behalf, my friend. And we know, he said in verse 28, that all things work together for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, if you read the King James Version, you'll miss the whole point of this verse, because that says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But there's times when all things aren't working for good. There's times when we have a hard time even seeing how they could possibly work for good. But that's not what it really says in the original language here. What it says is, in all things, God works for the good of those that love him. It's not those bad things are just working out good. It's that in those bad things, your good God is saying, I'm going to make this work out. I'm going to be there working on their behalf, and we're going to get through this trial. See, I'm talking to you today, friend, about dealing with disappointments. You see, there will be great disappointments that come with life. But what we need to know is, even if we don't see it, God is still there working on our behalf. If you're dealing with disappointments today, my friend, I want to challenge you and encourage you. God's got your back. Friend, God does love you, and he knows your disappointments, and it hurts him to see you hurt. But we have to remember, he's working on our behalf. Thanks for joining me today. God loves you, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, he makes his mercies new every morning.